This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Author Stephen Waldman is the editor-in-chief and co-founder of BeliefNet.com, the leading website for multi-faith inspiration and spirituality on the Internet. He's a renowned expert in matters of religious freedom, the separation of church and state, and America's political culture wars. He's also the author of a weekly column on the Wall Street Journal Online, and his book, Founding Faith, has just been released in paperback. Welcome, Steve, back to the program. How are you, sir?
Hi, good to be with you again.
Absolutely, and congratulations on the paperback. That's always exciting.
Thank you, yes. It's now cheap. No one has any excuse not to read it.
Guys, let's start with prayer in schools, because I know you wrote about this recently and explored the whole idea of what would the founding fathers perhaps think of the Supreme Court's decision to eliminate prayer, religious prayer, in schools. Here in Virginia, I think we have, and a lot of states now have that moment of silence where you can pray if you want to, which is sort of seen, I guess, as the compromise on that issue. But mandatory prayer in schools, of course, has been eliminated by the Supreme Court.
Well, first thing I would say, which it invariably disappoints everyone, is that it depends on which founder you're talking about. And this is a real point of my book, which is that we talk about the founders as if there is a thing, a unitary block called the Founding Fathers. And interestingly, they really disagreed with each other on quite a number of these religious liberty issues that we're still fighting about. So, for instance, based on what they did in their lives, I think that probably George Washington, John Adams would have been comfortable with prayer in school. John Adams was very, for most of his life, supported the approach that the state of Massachusetts took, which actually had an official state religion. At the end of his life, he became more of a separationist. For most of his life, he was more in favor of church-state cooperation. On the other hand, Jefferson and James Madison probably would have gone in the other direction and been certainly opposed to any kind of state-sponsored or state-written prayer. They probably would have been okay with a moment of silence, but I feel pretty confident that Madison would oppose the having the state write a prayer. And the reason is, it's not that he was anti-religion. I mean, in fact, his whole reason for supporting separation of church and state was that he thought it was going to encourage growth of religion. So he would say that having prayer in school would be detrimental to religion.
And that we're talking with Steve Waldman of BeliefNet.com. That whole idea that you can promote religion by leaving it alone and by separating it from politics, uniquely Western approach, and there's, of course, parts in the world that have not gotten there yet, if they ever will. And I guess most Americans aren't really aware of that. There's a lot of Americans today who would like to see more religion in politics.
Well, and I think it was a radical idea, not only for compared to Europe or the rest of the world, which still, as of the founding era, had official state churches. But it was also a radical departure within the colonies, because up until the point of the Constitution, most of the states, most of the colonies had official state religions, or at least support of religion in some way. And it kind of made sense. You know, if you want to encourage religion, have the government support it. If you want to build a road, have the government build a road. It was that approach. And the approach that Madison and Jefferson took, I mean, in a way, it was a very free market approach. It said that out of a kind of open competition of ideas, without government helping, one religion or another, or religion in general, that you would get the most vibrant kind of religious economy. And if you prop up religion, if you help support it with tax dollars or some other official state support, it actually ends up weakening it, because it's not subjected to market forces. So you'll end up having, just to take a really specific example that Madison was very conscious of, in Virginia, he thought that the preachers in Virginia were bad, were just lousy preachers. And the reason he thought they were lousy was that the state paid their salaries. So he figured, you know, it's not like now where they've got to pass the collection plate around, and if the preacher is horrible, eventually, you know,
he'll go out of business. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he thought it, you know, having the state pay their salaries literally propped up bad preachers.
Well, and we hear that same argument today from a lot of conservatives about public school teachers.
Right. And so one of the things I always say when I'm talking to conservative audiences or those that support, particularly conservative audiences that support prayer in school, is I'll say, okay, now before we get onto that, I'm curious, do you think the government should have more involvement in schools? You know, or less, and most people raise their hand at less. And I say, okay, do you think government should have more involvement or less involvement in health care? And they'll raise their hand for less. And I say, okay, so you think government will, you know, mess up pretty much anything it touches. So why would you want it touching religion? Why do you think that if government will mess up health care, why do you think it wouldn't mess up prayer or religion? And remember the controversial Supreme Court case that many people hate and think was a horrible turning point. It specifically was knocking down a prayer written by bureaucrats in New York State. So if you think the state education department does a really fantastic job in everything it touches, then by all means have them write the prayers too. But if you don't much like their, you know, how they handle the social studies curriculum, you might think twice about having them write the prayers as well.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Stephen Waldman is the editor-in-chief at BeliefNet.com. His book, Founding Faith, was just released in paperback. Now, Steve, take that idea of this free market approach to religion, separating government and religion, letting religion support itself, and letting the good preachers rise to the crop, the good religions, the ones that people want to participate in, flourish. Fast forward 225, 30 years, and we have the new Trinity College survey, which USA Today wrote about recently, which you also wrote about on your blog, which concluded that the fastest rising religion in America are those people who identify themselves as having no religion. So, and USA Today writes that the greatest challenge to Christianity does not come from other religions, but from a rejection of all forms of organized religion.
Yeah, and you know, a few things to keep in mind. Obviously, if it's up to 15%, that means that 85% of Americans are still involved with religion. So
yes,
that's
good point.
Still a relatively small percentage, but it is growing. And naturally, you have a situation where kind of the left and the right have completely different explanations for why this is happening. The left, for the most part, says, well, this is a result of the politicization of religion. You know, it's religion has become so unpopular because it's become associated with politics and Republican Party politics and hate and negativity and things like that, and that's giving Christianity a bad name. And conservatives alternatively say, you know, it's because the mainline religions have gotten too liberal and sort of lost their spiritual teeth.
They're not conservative enough.
Not conservative
and
enough.
And they took God out of the schools.
Right. So now, where do I come down in that? You know, I tried to actually get a handle on this, and I looked. There's data from a different survey that basically looks at people who became what they call the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N's, the no religions. And where did they come from? And, you know, about 27-28% of them were born Catholic. So, you know, probably part of the story with the increase in people with no affiliation is the turmoil in the Catholic Church in America. Is just, you know, what's happened there, partly as a result of the scandals. in the last 20 years. So that may be part of it. One thing I found really interesting was that you had mainline denominations losing members, but you also had Baptists losing members. And that surprised me because I had sort of been under the impression that the kind of evangelical denominations were all growing. And apparently it's not that simple. The Baptists were shrinking too, and the group that seems to be growing most is non-denominational Christianity, the ones that aren't affiliated with a particular, classic flavor, Methodist, Presbyterian, et cetera, and are in non-denominational churches, often the megachurch type environment, which in a way is kind of something in between evangelical and mainline. You know, they tend to be evangelical in their spirit, but the ones that are really thriving are mostly not all that political. They're about, helping feed the spiritual needs of the congregants. So
yeah,
I think that tells you what people are after.
And we're talking with Steve Waldman of BeliefNet.com, and we're seeing, speaking of those types of churches, we're seeing more and more of them being, as you say, less political, and more this whole new generation of religious Christian leaders who are more about, clothing the poor and feeding the hungry and trying to do the work of Jesus here and now.
Yeah, and I think that is a reaction to the perception that Christianity had strayed from the mission a little bit and becoming too focused on culture war issues, gay marriage and abortion to some extent, and at the exclusion of other things. And we'll see whether that trend has the effect of reversing, with this growth of the no religion folks. I mean, another interesting thing that may have happened, and this I'm just speculating, is it may be that growth really was from people who were never all that religious. You know, last time they did the survey, they weren't that religious either, but they said they were. And this time around, they just didn't bother to say they were. They said, I have no religious affiliation, which may result from the kind of what we call atheism chic. You know, there's a...
Right, right.
It's a little more socially permissible in the last couple of years to say you don't have a religion. And whereas 20 years ago or 10 years ago, that might not have been the case. So it's possible that really what you're seeing is not actually a change in religiosity, but a change in what's acceptable conversation.
Right,
what's acceptable to call yourself without getting booed at by your neighbors.
How that religiosity is culturally expressed, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's, I can't prove that, but that's, I think, a theory worth looking at.
Steve Waldman is the editor-in-chief at BeliefNet.com. It's the leading website for multi-faith inspiration and spirituality. His book, Founding Faith, How Our Founding Fathers Forged a Radical New Approach to Religious Liberty, has just been released in paperback. Some other interesting things from that study, real quickly. The Jewish population continues to decline. The Muslim population in America continues to grow, even though it's only, less than, 1%. And the ethnic group most likely to have no religious identity in America are Asians.
That surprised me. I assumed that the Asians were either Christian or Eastern, Buddhist. And I have not seen any good explanation for this factoid. But yes, you're right. The high number of Asians.
It's almost a third.
Yeah, that's enormous. And I'm a little speechless about that. I don't really know why that is. I mean, it is interesting that regionally, we really are becoming. There really is a huge regional divide here. That the people who say they have no religion are really clustered in two regions, the New England and the Pacific Northwest are significantly more likely to have a lot of people who say that they don't belong to a particular religion than the Midwest or the Northeast industrial or South.
Certainly. Yeah, and there's a lot more Catholics in the South, but you think that has to do with Hispanic immigration?
Yeah, there's a really interesting thing there, which is that if you look at the overall numbers of Catholics in America, it's actually been pretty stable. But what that obscures is that there's a big drop in native-born Catholics. There's a big exodus from the church of essentially of white Catholics over the last 10 years that was filled in by the immigration from Mexico and other Latin American countries, which basically brought it back up to being even. So what that means is that the complexion of the Catholic population in America is changing dramatically and quickly, becoming much more Hispanic in its nature.
We're talking with Steve Waldman. Steve, before we let you go, I'm wondering what's on the horizon, some of the things that you might be writing about here over the next few months and things that you're watching.
Well, you know, eventually the Obama folks are going to have to take a break from the economic issues and deal with abortion. There's starting to be grumbling from the people who, the kind of pro-Obama, pro-life voters, pro-life people who voted for Obama on the hope that he would take kind of progressive efforts to reduce the number of abortions. And they've been a little dissatisfied with what he's done so far, not horrified because they understand that he's got other stuff on his plate, but they are grumbling and they are starting to say, you know, when are we going to get that abortion reduction initiative you promised? And that's going to be politically a very tough one for him to pull off without alienating someone.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen Waldman, editor-in-chief at beliefnet.com, and his book Founding Faith has just been released in paperback. Check it out. Steve, always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining
us. Great to be back with you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.